Okay, well, we're trying to get caught back up on the Ravens. Last time we played them, a lot of time has elapsed, and there's certainly a lot of things to restudy and re-prepare for from September. But you know, obviously, a good football team that's played well here the last couple of weeks, and it's a big challenge for us this week. You know, they're tough physically and mentally. A real competitive team. I don't think any situation's too big for them. We'll just have to play our best here on Sunday.
Hey, sort of a two-part question, both related to Ray Lewis. Obviously, he's announced that at the end of this year, he'll retire. But when you look at him and the way that he's playing, does anything about his game right now suggest that he's the kind of guy that, from a physical standpoint, is at the end of his career? And then to build off that thought, since he returned at the start of the playoffs, how much different has this defense looked to you with him on the field?
Well, schematically, I'd say that they're pretty similar, and they kind of have their package of stuff that they're pretty good at. They did that when he's been in there, and kind of when he hasn't. You know, Ray's an instinctive player, always has been, very good in the running game, play action and screen passes and things like that. Just good job with the underneath combination patterns. So he certainly controls the defense in terms of checks, adjusts, that kind of thing. So he certainly adds a lot. I'm sure that they're glad he's back in there for a variety of reasons: his plays, leadership, being able to quarterback the defense, and certainly the front. So he's done a good job for us. He's been back in there.
Had a similar question to Jarrett Bells yesterday when he sort of was talking about Danny Woodhead and how you explain that situation. Can we do the same thing with Chandler Jones today? I know he was on the sideline as well in the second half, but didn't play.
Oh, well, do the same thing with every player. Well, any players that are in for treatment yesterday and today, well, everybody was in yesterday, but the guys that got treatment yesterday, the guys that came in for treatment today, will take a look at them today, take a look at them tomorrow, and make a decision as to whether or not we think they can practice. If we do, we'll put them out there and let them go through the early part of the practice, warm-up stages, individual work, and see how that progresses. Make a decision as to whether or not to put them in a group or team drills that come later on in practice. Do the same thing they're in the categories. If they're not ready, they don't practice, or they practice on a limited basis. If they're able to continue and do the things that all the other players are doing, mainstream program players are doing, then they do that.
So, Vince Wilfork called the Ravens a complete team after Sunday's game, and I'm just wondering what your definition, how you define a complete team and how difficult that is to reach that in the NFL.
Well, I don't know. I think that's something that, you should ask Vince about. If you wonder what he means by it, I'm not really sure, but I think they're a good football team. They're well coached. They have good players. They're strong in all three phases of the game. They're a tough team that's won their division. That's one game on the road. They've been able to win games in different fashions: high scoring, low scoring. Big kick in Denver. There, tough conditions. End of the game, long kick. So they've had a couple of those this year. So they've done a good job all the way around. They're a good football team. Like I said, it's well coached. They have a good, good program from their owner, Steve Bisciotti, general manager Ozzie Newsome. Their personnel people, they looks like they're really a solid organization. Probably one of the top organizations in the National Football League from top to bottom, from the owner all the way down to their practice squad players. They're solid all the way through.
Yes, they do. Thanks. Still, against Houston, you guys gave up some points late in each half. I know that's always a point of emphasis to avoid that. Can it be even more so this week, given how Baltimore scored late in regulation against Denver, and even in your game earlier in the year, came back late in the game. Is that something that you think you need to emphasize even more so that, you know, stay with it late in the first half, late in the second half?
Howard, yeah, sure. Absolutely. As you said, it's a point of emphasis every week. I mean, we never want to do that. So we always think that the end of the half can get a little different than they are in the rest of the game because it's situational play, and also sometimes offensively teams change their method of attack, what they're doing, how they're doing it, that kind of thing. So we have to, you know, adapt and adjust to what they do, and we have to do what we're doing better. So it's definitely a point of emphasis, and I'm sure it'll be important in this game.
Yeah, we'll do you see any sign of any kind of emotional letdown or change in effort from your guys, or is it just a function of what's happening on the field and execution on both sides?
I don't think it was. I mean, you know, we were trying to do the right thing. We you know, did some things that were good, but then we did some other things that weren't as good as they need to be. Houston was able to take advantage of some of the things we were doing. So, you know, the combination of, you know, better coaching, better playing, maybe better preparation. Hopefully it'll be better this week.
Bill, Torrey Smith, it just interests me just in terms of his progression in the league. I was just curious if you could reflect back to when you guys worked on him coming out of college in terms of what, you know, what the book was on him at that time and what you've seen from him in terms of developing as a receiver since he's come into the league.
I'd say he was a similar player in college. Big, fast, you know, vertical receiver, but he's had more production in the NFL than he had in college. Probably some of that's a credit to his improvement and the coaching and, you know, just his development as a receiver. I'm sure part of it's related to the quarterback. So he's, you know, he's always been able to run. You know, a guy that makes a lot of plays down the field. He can also run after the catch on the shorter and intermediate routes if you give him a big cushion. And that's a problem too. But, you know, he's made a lot of big plays down the field on deep balls, and that's opened up, you know, things for him underneath as well. It's been very productive. I think more productive than he was in college. I mean, he was productive in college, don't get me wrong, but I mean, I would say, relatively speaking, that he's made the jump to be, you know, a very productive NFL receiver. And, you know, that was maybe less consistent in college. But again, you know, a lot of that has to do, like any receiver's production, has to do with the quarterback that he's playing with. You know, he's playing with a real good quarterback there with the Ravens. And so he's gotten some good opportunities, gotten some good balls. He's taking advantage of getting open, or in some cases going up, taking the ball away from the defender. He's done a good job of that, too.
Quick question on Rob Ninkovich. I mean, I know you always emphasize players go to the ball, go to the ball. What makes him so successful? What special skill set does he have, or mental approach that enables him to get to the ball so often and come with up with it, whether it's an interception or onside kicks or fumble recovery?
I think it starts with his skill set. I mean, Rob's a good athlete. He has good body control, good balance, good hand-eye coordination, all those things, in addition to being, you know, a strong guy that's fast, got good quickness. But, you know, Rob's an instinctive player, and he's played through the course of his career between, you know, down as a defensive end and on a seat as a linebacker. And at times he's done, you know, when we were more in a 3-4 defense, he was up on 3-4 plays and down on sub plays. And so, you know, he's had a lot of experience doing both those things. And sure, there are times when he's down that his linebacker experience, as well as being his regular, you know, role, but, you know, just having a little more experience of playing on his feet, especially in some outside runs and things like that, helps him. And vice versa, I'm sure there are times when he's a linebacker that his training on taking on blocks and knowing how the defensive linemen play, that helps him better in that area too. So, you know, he's a good player, and he's versatile and he can gain from his experiences playing the complementary positions. So if he has to drop into coverage as a defensive end, he can, you know, fall back on some of the things he's learned as a linebacker in terms of the drop, the technique, read the quarterback, where the receiver primary routes are located, I mean, all those kind of things. His versatility as an athlete and his versatility as a football player combined with his instinctiveness, I think all those things come together favorably for him.
Bill, since Jim Caldwell has taken over as the coordinator, what kind of differences have you noticed, if any, in the offense in terms of just the operation in general, the schemes, all that?
I'd say there's, you know, a few subtle things, you know, a few things that are maybe a little bit of Indianapolis flip to them, more so than earlier, but that's, it's basically the same. There's a lot of things that look the same. And, I mean, again, I don't think you can change the offensive system in a week or two. That'd be a lot to ask. I don't think they need to. But they've modified it. It's probably a better question to ask them. I'm sure there's subtle things internally that are done that as an outsider you wouldn't think of.
Bill, one of the sort of noticeable changes, I know there's quite a few just from looking at the September 23rd game to now, is it looks like they have an offensive line, you know, that's probably configured. It's different configuration is what I'm trying to say than when you saw them in week three. What do you see from that unit with McKinney back at left tackle? They move back over to right tackle and the rookie there at left guard. I think those would be the three changes from what you saw in the week three game.
Right. So yeah, it's basically McKinney in and Harewood out with, as you said, the movement there that you talked about. Yeah. So it's really four of the same five guys. But, you know, they're big. They're a big physical line. You know, McKinney and Orr are two big tackles that are athletic and you know, the guard and Yanda. I mean, both those guys are, you know, again, big physical guys. You know, Burke's kind of the quarterback of the line. You know, he's an experienced guy, been in the league a long time. It's like he controls the line calls and things like that. And, you know, as well as, you know, he's a good solid player in there. So, again, I don't see a huge, you know, like they've revolutionized their offense or anything. It's, like you said, a little different configuration. But they're big, they're strong, they're athletic. And, you know, they've had, you know, two real solid games here in the playoffs together. So if, you know, McKinney would come in at times anyway in the past, you know, in some of their extra tight end sets, but he came in at tackle. So sure that they've had a lot of, you know, a lot of time to work some of those things out, but they've used that combination the last couple of weeks. It's been effective for them.